Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Sharp Tongue Podcast. I'm your girl, Jessie Mae Peluso. Thank you for being here. Thank you for listening. I appreciate you. This week is going to be a fun recap of everything that I've sort of been through, cleaning out my house and traveling and all the crazy stuff that's happening. Airplanes are falling apart. The sky is falling. And I'm here to catch it all and deliver it to you in the form of a podcast that you should be rating 5 stars. You see how I slipped that in real quick? I'm going to be coming to you live. The links aren't up on these websites for the dates that I'm doing, so I'm waiting for that. But eventually, you'll be able to purchase tickets on my website to see me live. I'll be in Syracuse, New York, Omaha, Nebraska. I also have a show for the Netflix Is a Joke Festival in Los Angeles, California, in Hollywood at the Bourbon Room. That's May 10th, one night only. See me live. A portion of sales for all the shows that I do will go towards the Alzheimer's Association and Hilarity for Charity. So make sure you guys check me out. Come see me live. You're supporting me and a good cause. And speaking of a good cause, this podcast is a good cause. Bring a little entertainment for your ears, a little joy for your day, whether you're vacuuming or avoiding your family. I hope you enjoy this week's episode of the Sharp Tongue Podcast with me. Sharp Tongue Podcast. Beep, 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 beep. You're listening to the Sharp Tongue Podcast. I'm your host, Jessie Mae Peluso.
It's a personal
look. Well, it's not really a look because it's a podcast. I'm already fucking this up.
This is kind of like a verbal comedy diary,
a deep look into the crevices of my mind. It's going to get dirty.
You might cry. You probably laugh. Hopefully you'll laugh.
Talk about my dog sometimes. Each week it's something different. Sometimes I have a guest host. Sometimes it's going to be a movie companion episode. Sometimes I just ramble about the bullshit I dealt with the week before. You never know what you're going to get. It's raw, uncut, and funny. It's me. Hey, everybody. Welcome to the podcast. Thanks for being here. I'm glad you're here. I'm glad I'm here. And we're going to be talking about a lot of different things today. We're going to do a little update on my life and where I've been. I had to go upstate again. I didn't have to go, but if you're listening and in on my life, I have just sold my childhood home. In the process of selling my childhood home, we had an episode, a grief survival guide episode on that and all the details of that. This is not a part two of that per se, but it is an update of everything that I sort of have been through and what I've gone through since that. But before we get into all of that, first of all, you're not going to believe what happened to me on a plane. I almost died. And it was very traumatic. We'll talk about that a little bit more towards the end of the episode because I don't want to start off the podcast with what happened to me, because I'll sue Delta and I will own Delta. I'll own the entire fleet of planes for sure. Because you know me, I don't go down without a fight. I don't go down without a fight. We talked about that in the last episode. It's not in me to not fight. And you got to pick and choose your battles. You know, I've been battling with Uber. We have an Uber update. Uber called me because I thought the $5 that they wanted to give me wasn't enough. I'm sorry. This man had an extreme road rage. $5? They don't even do $5 footlongs at Subway anymore. So I can't even get a sandwich at this point. Side note, I went to order a sandwich from Postmates in Los Angeles, I will say. And to get the sandwich delivered to my house was going to be $45. You bet your ass I made soup. I made soup because I could not think about ordering a $45 sandwich. I don't care how good the sandwich is. And let me tell you, this sandwich is so good. I'm not going to tell you where it's from because it's one of those spots in Los Angeles that nobody really knows about. It's a little in the cut, down the corner, right around there, Goodfellas style sandwich spot, and no one's going to know. But I love it so much, and I don't have a car right now. So that's why I was going to have it delivered, and I settled for soup. I digress. So the Uber thing has culminated to me demanding to get my ride back. The entire ride. I thought that that was doable. I thought that that was the least that I was due and the least that I was owed was the cost of the ride that almost cost me my life when the driver yelled at the two cholos driving next to me. I don't want people to get triggered by me saying cholo. It's fun. This is a fun podcast. Everybody relax. Stop getting offended. I love everybody. Everybody deserves to have a good time and have fun without people being offended by stupid shit. But these two dudes looked like cholos. And they were nice ones, luckily for us, but I could have died. So I thought that the $5 offer that Uber offered to sort of make up for that was ridiculous. So I fought and I said, I deserve at the very least the cost of my ride. So they gave the cost of my ride back after me having to email them eight times. And, you know, sometimes you guys are probably saying to yourself, the fight is not worth it. The juice ain't worth the squeeze. Side note, good riddance to the juice. Good riddance to the juice. Let's just do a little sidebar. Good riddance to the juice. Oh, OJ Simpson died? Who cares? Does anybody care? I don't care. The only good thing we got out of that is the justice system changing the way they enter a crime scene and forensics being sort of updated because of how they mishandled the crime scene. But good riddance to the juice. I'm not even going to drink orange juice anymore because I don't care. I don't care how much vitamin C is in orange juice. I'm not drinking it out of solidarity. Goodbye to Khloe Kardashian's father. I don't know if that's the one. One of those Kardashians looks a lot like OJ Simpson and no one's saying it. Maybe that's why she's changed her face. Glove don't fit. Well, the face fits. It's the same one. Good riddance. Goodbye, OJ Simpson. I had to get that out of my system. People are posting. If I see one person posting a photo of OJ Simpson saying, oh God, I'm going to miss him. You're going to miss him? You know who else is missing? Those two lives. Did Kato die? How many people died? I should know the details. It's been so long. And screw you guys for the Broncos sales increasing as well. Leave it up to America to make crime be the reason that a car trends. I'm boycotting Broncos and orange juice. That's what I'm doing. The double murder charges shattered his reputation as a high-achieving, amiable star. He was accused of killing I know Nicole Brown Simpson died. I couldn't think of the other guy, which is so horrible. Ronald Goldman in a brutal knife attack on the walkway outside her townhouse in the fashionable Brentwood section of Los Angeles. Yeah, goodbye, OJ. Because Ronald had to say goodbye. Nicole Simpson had to say goodbye. Goodbye. Goodbye to the Bronco. What year was the Bronco that he drove? He drove a Bronco, I believe it was. And goodbye to orange juice. Goodbye to all of it. I don't care that he died. Could care less. Rotten. Rotten human being. Let's talk about the Uber message. Uber left me a voicemail, and I wanted to play it for you guys. Oh, there goes a charger. Let's see if we can hear this.
In regard to the unfortunate experience that you had during the trip on March 17th, where you reported your driver for dangerous driving behavior, and he also apparently had extreme road rage, and it left you feeling very unsafe. So I just wanted to let you know that ultimately, we always take these types of feedback seriously. An investigation was launched, and they are currently looking into your escalation as far as the feedback you provided. I can't necessarily give you details due to our privacy policy, but I did want to assure you that this type of behavior is not accepted on the Uber platform. We want all of our riders and customers to feel safe while they are being transported to their destinations every day. So with that being said, I have gone ahead and refunded the trip back to your payment method, and just please allow 3 to 5 business days for that refund to process. We do hope that your future experiences are much more seamless. I'm going to go ahead and send a follow-up in-app message with all this information. If you have any questions at all, feel free to respond in that thread. Thank you so much, and have a great rest of your day.
Now, thankful for her. Truly thankful for her. But honestly, screw Uber. I've been using Lyft. Lyft driver accused of sexually assaulting female passenger on a ride from WeHo to Santa Monica. I'm taking a covered wagon from now on. It's not safe. It's no longer safe anywhere. I'm done. Done with everybody. Yeah, I'm going to fight for it. I'm going to fight for it. You better believe that I'm fighting for it. Investigation. You think I'm not going to follow up on the fucking investigation? Because imagine. I go through all of this, right? And they quote unquote say they launch an investigation. Say they don't. Say that she just said this, even though she could be held. The whole company could be held accountable because of this if they don't follow through. Say that they don't launch an investigation. This guy actually commits road rage situation where he actually does something physical or gets into an altercation that causes a death. Uber would be done. If I found out that the same driver went through a situation like that with somebody else, you better believe another email's getting sent. Another freaking email's getting sent. So I wanted to follow up with you guys, let you know. Sometimes, yes, you have to pick and choose your battles, but sometimes it's worth it. Sometimes it's worth it because these are these little things that we do, these like little emails we send and follow-ups, those become paper trails for a set of behaviors that are unacceptable. So while you might think it's not worth, the juice ain't worth the squeeze, think about the other person that has to deal with this, because maybe there'll be a trail of emails or something indicating that whatever you're dealing with has happened before. And then that's what puts the change. That's what starts the evolution of change and starts to break the chain of whatever's going on. So I wanted to follow up with that. I have another complaint. My significant other, who drives me up a wall, across the ceiling and down the other wall, and then across the floor, has one sponge. He's got one sponge in his sink. Okay, he's got one of those ones, you know, the handle one with the brush, and then you put the thing, the juice in there. He's got one of those, you know, the handle ones. But then he's got just one flat sponge that he uses to clean the sink, to clean the counters and the dishes. And I said, oh no, we can only have one sponge per job. If you're washing the counter with one sponge, should you also be washing the dishes with the same sponge, is what I'm asking the people. I want to know what your thoughts are on that. JessieMapeLusoComedy@gmail.com or DM me a simple yes or no. Re-sponge-pocalypse 2024. Because the audacity to expect me to wash my dish and then put food in that dish and eat out of that dish is astronomical. It's off the charts. The charts. The audacity is out in outer space. One sponge? Wait, so you're cleaning your counter and my water cup? No. This is how people get syphilis. Or at least ringworms. I don't know. I'm not a doctor, but it does not sound sanitary. And this individual is the cleanest person I know. Nothing ever. He never smells. And I think he might be a robot. There's not a smell that comes off of this fella. And I haven't figured it out. I don't trust it. I don't trust something that doesn't smell. I mean, his sponge smells because he uses it for everything. So sweet sponge update, everybody. I had a couple thoughts. I was traveling and I saw children in first class. No, it's a big no. And maybe people are listening and they're like, oh, but we have kids and we travel. Leave them at home. You have your kids sitting in first class. What has the kid done to deserve that? First and foremost, if you're putting your kid in first class, charter a flight. There should be family charters. Offer them at a discount. And this is coming from someone who, yes, once in a while I will travel with a pet. I realize this might sound very hypocritical and judgmental, but it has less to do with me feeling like I deserve to be in first class and more to do with, why does your child deserve to sit in first class? Why does an 8-year-old deserve to get a drink before everyone sits down? What has that child done? You're not preparing him or her for the real world. Oh, so they think that they should just be able to get a glass with ice before everyone's seated in a big comfy seat for their little bony ass? Absolutely not. Should call this sexual section of the podcast, absolutely not. One kitchen sponge, absolutely not. Children in first class, absolutely not. Why? It's not, they haven't deserved it. And maybe it's because I come from a generation where my mother made me deserve things and made me earn things. Earn it. I would understand it if you made your kid do stuff at home and work and earn that first class ticket, but to just hand it to him, I just feel like it's egregious. It's outrageous. It's unnecessary. You know what else is unnecessary? Being reminded of your age. Rude. Unnecessary. Those of you who know me know I am an anti-ageist. I don't like the idea of age being used as a weapon. I don't like how society uses youth to sell items. I don't like how it works for me sometimes. I don't like ageism. I believe ageism is a mentality, one way or the other, using it as a way to make you fearful of getting older. And then the more beneficial, positive side of using your age as a way to understand that that's how you gain wisdom and how to age gracefully and that it's not such a scary thing. I just don't like ageism. I'm reminded of it sometimes when you're with younger kids and you say something and they don't know what it is. You're like, oh my God, you weren't even born. You weren't even born. So I was home recently and one of my family members has a daughter and she's about 15 or 16 and she had a TLC t-shirt on. I was like, oh my God, TLC. Do you like TLC? She's like, I don't even know who they are. And I was like, what? Shouldn't be allowed to wear the shirt. Shouldn't be allowed to wear the shirt. I got a big gripe against girls who wear concert shirts to concerts of artists they don't even know. Okay, I don't know who we need to blame for that. The Kardashians, I feel like they slapped on some Nirvana shirts, acting like they actually listened to it, putting on whole t-shirts like they know anything about it. You should have to have gone to at least one show of the artist whose shirt you're sporting. This is no hate. This is just my version of ageism. So she got this cute TLC t-shirt on. Now, I've got a TLC t-shirt on right now. TLC t-shirt, say that 10 times fast. RIP, left eye, where's she at? She's over here. We talked about her and burning down her boyfriend's house. Burning down the house. But I actually love TLC. I felt a certain type of way when she's like, no, I don't know who they are, but my mom does. Oh, God. Oh, no. Not only does this beautiful girl have no idea who my favorite band is, but her mom does. And the kicker is I don't even have a kid as well. So not only am I too old for this bitch, I think I missed the mothership to even have a daughter to have an argument with wearing a t-shirt of a band that I used to love. Shout out to all the TLC lovers out there. And shout out to Left Eye, who's just a hologram now. Oh, God. Constant humbling in this world. It's all about being humbled. It's all about knowing when to pick your fight and being humbled. Well, speaking of being humbled, I'm going to tell you guys what the hell happened to me on the airplane soon. But first, let's do a Lunchables update. Remember we were talking shit about Lunchables? And I was telling you there's no way that food is good for you. There's just no freaking way that Lunchables is good for you by any stretch of the term. So I was looking for nutrition labels and then I found out that this product got recalled. And so I had to look up what the Lunchables ingredients were. And so this says Lunchables ham and crackers have been recalled. Now, this story, I couldn't find the date. Okay, the date is 2016. So 2016, Lunchables had a safety alert. If you usually send your kids to school with Lunchables, pay close attention to which ones you choose because Lunchables ham and American cracker stackers are being recalled to mislabeled allergens, according to the U.S. Department of Agricultural Food Safety and Inspection Services, FSIS for short. FSIS. Approximately 959 pounds of ham and American cracker stackers are affected in the recall, and products have a use-by date of December 25th, 2016. So hopefully you guys recalled these. A few of you probably still have them in the freaking cabinet. They were printed with a nacho cheese label, so the nutrition facts and warnings were all false. And don't mention the ham and cheese Lunchables contain wheat and soy. Here's the difference between the two products' nutrition labels. It wasn't necessarily because of any sort of illnesses, but it was because they mislabeled their product, not mentioning that there's wheat and soy. And some of you listening might be like, oh my God, these allergies are new and people are just being soft. People actually have celiac disease, which causes you to not be able to eat any gluten. Some people actually have soy allergies, and these allergies can cause people to, you know, go into anaphylactic shock and freaking die. So I just wanted to read the nutrition label to you and show you what exactly is in Lunchables. Okay, here we go. Tortilla chips, not too bad. Ground yellow corn vegetable oil. Big problem there. We've got a big problem. I can't even read this. I got to look this real close. Hold on, guys. I need glasses. Soybean oil, sunflower oil, corn bran. I don't even know what corn bran is. Canola oil, milk. So far, it doesn't sound so bad, right? But all of these things we've learned are terrible for you. Dried corn syrup, sodium phosphate, jalapeno peppers. Hey, there's something good. Whey protein concentrate. All this stuff, it's just disruptive. Potassium chloride, sorbic acid, anfernactinol carotenol. What? Tomato. Okay, so this is in the salsa. Salsa's not too bad. Garlic powder, that's not too bad. Sodium benzoate, potassium sorbitate. See, once you start getting into those, that's when your whole body's going to be shutting down. That's when you start to have mood swings. That's when you start to act like a jerk. Don't eat Lunchables. They're not good for you. I miss them. I wish I could eat them every day. I truly do. It's one thing that I used to just love having in the middle of the day as a kid. I felt like a chef. I felt like, oh, look at me making a freaking sandwich. I'm living my best life. And then you learn that as an adult, all the stuff that you loved and the stuff that you ate, not so good for you. Not so good for you anymore. Goodbye, Lunchables. It got recalled. See you later. Enjoy it with the juice. Enjoy your life with, what's his name who just died? OJ Simpson. We can bury these both. This is an article about because Lunchables was gone from Canada for so long. Like a couple other people I know in my life, they got DWIs and they couldn't go into Canada. Dad. Neither could Lunchables. After 15 years, Lunchables announced its long-awaited return to Canadian shelves. This is from April 3rd this year. Lunchables, after 15 years, returns to Canada to inspire creativity and power kids forward. What? Lunchables invites Canadians to rediscover their love for the brand by giving away up to 10,000 free samples. The fan-favorite lunch kit is returning to Canada to offer same delicious taste, fuel, and convenience fans know and love. And now for a new generation. Reminiscent fans excited to try Lunchables and parents now looking to share this nostalgic and fueling mealtime option with their children can now have the product at retailers across the country, offering five delicious varieties to power kids through the day. See, this is the problem, is our lives are so busy that parents actually need snacks like this for their kids because they don't have enough time to make lunch. That's the real problem. It's not even the ingredients. Don't hate the player, hate the game. This is less about Lunchables and more about the lifestyle that we're living that makes it so that we're living too fast. So fast that we need our kids' lunch already pre-made in a package. It's more than just fuel for the body or a quick snack. It powers kids' creativity through buildability. What is... So now they're trying to make it sound like because kids are able to build their own lunch, that that is some sort of conduit for creativity. To me, it's reminiscent of like our school system and our education system preparing us to work in workplaces and work in offices. You know, the whole system of education preparing us to be in the business system, in the industry of working for the, you know, for someone else, being a part of the system. Lunchables is sliding in that, trying to use like, oh, look, your kids are creative, building their own lunch. No, you're working the parents too hard, so the kids have to make their own lunch. Whether a rocket ship, penguin, or UFO, there are endless possibilities for what kids in their imagination can build with Lunchables. I'm sorry, but a kid's lunch, great, it's fun for them, but fun should just be fun, and food should just be food. We don't need to, like, entice parents to buy this and make them feel better about their guilt of the fact that they can't make their own lunch by saying, oh, look, your kid's creativity is going to increase because he's building his cracker sandwich. Okay, I'm done talking shit about Lunchables. That's it. We're done. There's so many other things I want to talk about, but I also want to get into some other stuff. Let's see. Do we have a Maybays mail? We do have a Maybays mail. Can I complain one more time? Let me just complain about something else. Okay. Before we get into me being stuck on a plane and before I even do a recap of what it was like to be home, we might have to get to that next week. I want to talk about a check I got. Okay, have we talked about this yet, Deb? This check from Lights Out with David Spade? I got a check from Lights Out with David Spade. It's a show I did. Let's see, it's a residual check. You know, we just went through this whole writer's strike with the guild in the entertainment industry and streaming services and people being paid properly for the streaming services, putting shows up and all of that. And so we get residual checks. I get residual checks all the time. A lot of the times they are unremarkable, like just a few dollars. You know, once in a while you get like a couple $100 check. This check came in the mail and I was offended. I was literally offended. I've never been this offended in my life. And then I laughed because of the amount of the check. So this is a check, a residual check for Lights Out with David Spade. For my appearance, it looks like the check came November 25th, 2003. It was for episode 1082, which I can't imagine. It's just the episode number, 1082. I don't even know if there's a date of the appearance. Central Productions, LLC. So the check is for one penny. It's for 1 cent. My lights are literally out because I couldn't pay my electrical bill because of this check. It costs more to mail this check. Why even send me this check? It's going to cost me more to cash it. What was the point? Does the bank even hand out a penny? Can you imagine I go to the bank and I want the cash for this check? I don't even think they have pennies at the bank. How am I going to get paid? And also, how many of these did they mail out? How many people got 1 cent checks? Because the amount of people it would take to make it even worthwhile to mail that out is 100. That's a dollar. You're making me owe money, David Spade, by sending me this. I have a gripe with David Spade. What is this? 1 penny? I'm going to go to a currency exchange and see what I get then. I got to bring this bitch to Canada. And I think I'm going to owe them money. This is currently worth more in Canada, for sure. I don't know what the exchange rate is, but I'm out now. My lights are out, David Spade. I'm coming for you. Clip it, Deb. Son of a. Never been broke from doing an episode. Residual. Yeah, the only thing residual is my pain from being evicted from my home because of my 1 penny check. This is ridiculous. This is absolutely ridiculous. It's unacceptable. I saw something on Instagram that, speaking of unacceptable, I almost don't want to share it because I feel like it's going to scar some of you, but I have to share it because it's going to scar some of you. And, you know, when I am going through the week, I'm always making notes about things I want to talk about and things I want to share with you guys on the podcast. And especially amidst us doing new stuff with the podcast, I'm having fun and making it a stew of things that I experience, the things that bother me. So I came across this on Instagram. I don't even know how to describe this. I don't know how to describe what we're about to watch, but I'll tell you the title of it. It's making a ring. It's from a jeweler, a girl who does jewelry design. And the title of this clip is making a ring out of pubes. And my first thought was, why? Why do we need this? Who's ordering this? And then I thought, it must be people that are pissed at their exes, people who don't want to really have someone love them, people who are trying to get back at somebody. So let's listen to what she says, and we're going to get into the comments. Well, let's read a couple of comments. For me, it's not even the pubes. Wear them gloves. She's not wearing gloves. She's making a ring, and she is... Let's just watch it, and we'll discuss.
Let's make another beautiful pubic hair ring.
Let's not.
Sent in the blank ring that they wanted us to use.
Let's not.
I do have a source and a supplier with lots of different styles and materials for rings like this, which we can go over all the options whenever we do a design consult, or if you find the perfect one, you can send in your own, as well as whatever material you want us to use. In this case, we are doing pubic hair.
Why?
Now, everybody else might.
Why are we doing pubic hair? The first thing I want to know is, why are we doing pubic hair? I got to go to the comments. Some people said this is very much disturbing and offensive. This is enough for the internet today. One ring to stun them all. One ring to save them. One ring for smooth turn of events. And in darkness, shave them. She's not wearing gloves. People are talking about her not wearing gloves. There's no gloves. What in the 5-minute crafts is going on here? To me, I was like, this is the end of entertainment. It's the end of why we should. It's the beginning of why we should end social media. Couldn't you get the same effect with something else? How about grass? Why are we using pubes? Why don't we use grass? Who would order something like this? And I'm sorry to, you know, talk crap about this girl's art. This isn't art. This is disgusting. It's unnecessary. And I don't know who would order this. A pube ring? Deb, I swear to God, if you get me one of these, I'm going to be pissed. Because Deb always sends me really interesting gifts. It's just, it's so, let's listen to her some more.
In this case, we are doing pubic hair. Now, everybody else might sit there and squeam and squirm. It's not the normal. It's not the usual. It's funny, though, because so many people are going to be so weirded out. And yet, as I was sitting there placing hair by hair, all I could do was admire all of the different hues.
No! if this girl's sitting here admiring pubic hair, you gotta get out of your house, girl. I can't even listen to the rest of it. You gotta get out of your house. You can't. We can't be making rings with pubic hair on them. We cannot. It's a full stop. Absolutely not. There's no reason to do that. And you're probably like, how did you come across this? Obviously, everyone's algorithm is weird. I have put out into the universe that I'm looking for a new hobby. And this isn't going to be one of them, I promise you. But I just thought that maybe this girl really needs a new hobby. Maybe she really needs something different in her life because this is so unacceptable and beyond what should be put on a ring. If someone's going to wear this, knowing that that's on there, that to me is so mental. The only place I could see this making sense is if this is like some sort of revenge ring. And this is a new type of gifting where you sort of act like, yeah, you know, it didn't work out between us, but I wanted to get you this special ring. And in your mind, you know that they're wearing a pubic ring, and in their mind, they just think it's a really cool design with all these cool hues. I'm sorry. Pubes don't have hues. Only people named Hugh have pubes. That's science. So don't try and like gloss up the fact that you're sticking pubic hairs on a ring. We might need to find this girl and interview her. Deb, we might need to find this chick and have her on the podcast because I need to know why. I need to know why she decided to do this, that this is her. We're not calling this art. Her and I might get into an argument because I'm not calling this art. I'm obviously in a fighting mood today because I'm like saying sayonara to OJ Simpson. I'm still fighting with Uber and now I want to start a fight with a girl making pubic rings. I'm in a mood. I'm in a freaking mood. I'm well aware of it. Let's talk about one of the reasons why I'm in a mood today. I got stuck on a plane. I got stuck on a plane. You're probably asking how? How do you get stuck on a plane? We're all stuck on a plane when we fly. Well, some people get stuck on a plane. You get stuck on a plane for the flight. I got locked in the bathroom of a flight flying to Syracuse when I flew home. And, you know, I'm somebody who when I sit on the plane, I like to get up every hour or so, move around. I go back and I talk to the flight attendants, try and get some free alcohol from them while they're chilling back there. Can you sneak me a little? Got a little can of wine? It's a can of wine. Come on. I don't feel classy because it's in a can. Help me out a little bit. I toss them a 5-spot. Little insider info. Traveler insider info. You can tip flight attendants. And I highly recommend it. It's a good feeling. They're shocked when you give them money. Even if it's just a couple bucks, they're going to say, no, 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 no. They can accept tips. They're not encouraged to, but tip them. So I'll usually just toss them a 5 or something. So I like to get up. I like to move about the cabin. They tell us we can. Hey, boom. I would like to let everybody know this is a good time for you to move about the cabin. I'm going to move about the cabin. Even when they're like, boom. We're going to put your seatbelts on. There's going to be some turbulence. I'm still up and moving about. I'm restless. I have restless human syndrome. So I get up, go use the bathroom. And I'm not somebody who slams doors. It's just not my vibe. My mom used to call me her West Coast baby, California kid. I don't slam doors. Even though I'm Sicilian, in my heart I want to slam them. It's just not my energy. So even when I'm on the plane, I'm not slamming the door. Especially when I'm on a plane. I'm not going to slam the door. Things made out of a pita bread. So I go to shut the door and it shuts in. It comes off the track and comes into the bathroom with me. And I'm like, well, Houston, we have a problem. I didn't bring my cell phone. First mistake. Why didn't I have my cell phone? Why didn't I have my cell phone? Because I didn't think I'd need it. And I highly recommend always having your cell phone on you. I have a fear of it dropping in the toilet of a plane and it getting sucked out and shot out the belly of the plane. Because that's what I imagine where all of our pee and our whatever we do in the bathroom goes. I just imagine that it goes, it sucks out and it shoots out into a flock of seagull. I don't know. I'm not an aviator scientist. So I don't bring my cell phone. So I'm stuck in the bathroom. And I'm like, oh, no. And I try. The door won't budge. It doesn't do anything. And I'm kicking on the door and I start to have a complete panic attack because I imagine myself being stuck on the plane for the entire flight. I'm like, I'm gonna die. I thought for sure I'm gonna die on this plane. Was it a dramatic response? Yes. It's been a challenging few years. Sometimes I overreact to situations. And I'm kicking and banging on the door and yelling and no one is coming. And I thought, I'm already dead. This is death. I'm stuck in an airplane bathroom for the rest of my life now. This is my purgatory. This is because of whatever I've done in my life that I've done nothing to deserve. But in my mind, I'm like, this is it. Kicking and screaming. It took way too long for this flight attendant to come. When he comes, there's like a chicken bone in his mouth. I don't know what it was. It looked like a chicken bone, but he had like a sandwich hanging out of his mouth because he was clearly just having a break. He's got the food still in his mouth, casually adjusting. Now, I respect the casual approach because it helps me stay calm, but I was mad that he was so casual in the wake of my stress that it added to my anxiety and frustration because I wanted him to be mad with me. You ever feel that? Where you're like, I just need you to be mad with me as well. Casually adjusting the door and I'm still kicking and screaming. He has to pull the door down. Two people come. He's got to pull the door down off the track and then pull it out into the airplane. And then it's kind of hanging off the track and he's got to snap it back in. And I'm like, oh my God. Oh God, I thought I was going to be stuck in there. He's like, yeah, that happens. This door is malfunctioning. No. What is going on with airplanes malfunctioning? I think we all need to stop and pause and fix the planes. There's doors flying off outside of the plane. There are bathroom doors getting stuck in the plane. Extreme turbulence is causing people to fly up out of the aisles and stewardess and flight attendants to slam back down on the drink carts. I think we all need to take a break. I think we all maybe need to stop picking the fights. Maybe we all need to stop fighting so much. Maybe we all need just to relax. And maybe I'm wrong about knowing when to pick and choose your battles. Maybe we have too many battles. Maybe that's what's going on. Maybe we're all battling too much and that's why we're struggling. That's why airlines and airplanes are pieces of them are flying off into the ether. I'm getting stuck in toilets on an airplane. We're all battling too much. We need to slow down. We have to slow down. It's all too much. I thought I was going to die. And on my way to Syracuse, I'm like, I'm not going to make it. I'm not even going to be there to be able to help my sister get the rest of our childhood Cabbage Patch dolls out of the house because she's going to read in the news that I died in a toilet. It was intense. It's been an intense week. So I think I'm going to stop battling for this week. I've battled enough. I got my Uber to give me my entire ride back. I've battled enough fighting with airlines. I didn't even send an email to Delta. Can you believe it? I didn't even send an email to Delta. Thought about it. What am I going to say? I still might send an email. Maybe I need to send an email because it really scared me. Maybe I need to slow down. I think I need a year off of everything. Doing too much. We're all doing too much. We're battling too much. Well, I'm going to buy my man some extra kitchen sponges. I'm going to request you guys to not fly with your children in first class. And I'm going to go take a nap because I need it. And I hope you guys enjoyed this week's episode. Next week will be a recap of what I did at my house. You're not going to believe what happened with my sister and I when we got to the house. It's a fun video of that that will play on next week's episode. But I hope you guys have a great week and thank you for listening. Don't forget to rate the podcast. Love you.
Hello and thanks for joining us. I'm Mary Kelly and today for Deborah. This flight crew, including the pilot, are dealing with an emergency, desperately trying to break open a bathroom door after a man got stuck inside. They kick and pry with no luck, all while the man's wife helplessly looked on. Stephen Fabian spoke with the couple, very relieved to be off that flight.
You don't see this every day. The pilot trying to free a passenger who finds himself trapped in the bathroom. A flight attendant does her best to help out. They struggle and struggle.
Am
I spoke exclusively to the passenger and his wife, who was watching the entire ordeal from her seat. They did not want to go on camera. How did you get stuck in the bathroom in the first place? What happened?
That's a great question. I was in the laboratory and tried to come out, and the knob to open the door locked, so I found myself stuck in a dark laboratory.
Here's reporter Allison Hall.
You can get really claustrophobic inside of a plane, so just imagine what it would have been like to be stuck inside the bathroom. Look how tight it is.
When did you realize your husband was gone for way too long?
I jokingly thought, oh, he's really milking the time in there. I finally heard a flight attendant say the word stuck, and I turned around and I was like, wait a minute, is someone stuck in the bathroom? I said, oh my gosh, I think that's my husband.
Brent, the passenger, was told to kick the door with force as the pilot yanked from the outside. Finally, after 35 minutes, success. That's his foot, and he shakes the pilot's hand. The latest case happened on a Delta flight from Salt Lake City to New Orleans. What was it like when you finally got out of the bathroom? Were you, like, embarrassed at all?
Yeah, I was definitely embarrassed.
Delta says they contacted the couple to apologize and are investigating what went wrong with the bathroom door so it doesn't happen again.
You know I'm going to send that email.